Jeff Kloa.
I don't know if it's legal, but I'm going to make a comment about Paul's comments and then move to Dave. So I hope you caught his observation towards the end there that perhaps it was the very success of the resurrection story that led to it simply being assumed and an emphasis or on the discussion of the cross. And then moving to his comments on Pieper, that perhaps we've now passed the time where we can simply assume this. I think this is evident in our own day today. If you really want to find out or sharpen for yourself what you actually say and believe, it's helpful to hear how other people summarize what you say, especially your opponents. So in the last few days, the Roman pontiff has taken an awful lot of heat for some of his comments. But how do the radical Islamists, what are the names they are giving to the Pope? They are calling him the cross worshiper. Not somebody who preaches the resurrection, but the cross worshiper. Now, it sort of struck me, as we kind of pass over that, that's a good thing, maybe. But last week, we celebrated Holy Cross Day in chapel, and we sang Lift High the Cross. And I noticed, because I was thinking about these things, that there is not a single word of resurrection in that entire hymn. The last stanza is, so shall our song of triumph ever be, praise to the crucified for victory. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaimed. No resurrection, it's not needed. This is in sharp contrast to what you see, as Paul alluded to earlier, in the early church. In the second century, when the opponents of Christianity were observing and relating to others what Christianity emphasized, people like Celsus, or Pliny the Younger, they said nothing about the cross except to emphasize that they preached that this Jesus rose from the dead and that they worshiped him as God. So how did we get from the Christians being acknowledged as those who preach the resurrection to those who talk about the cross? And is it necessary in our own day where the resurrection is now questioned again very severely, whether it might not be time to bring up some new narratives, as David said. Then a brief comment on David's paper, a fine paper. It sort of struck me, however, we're talking about a full-bodied theology of the resurrection. Now, full-bodied is not a term we often hear in theology. Usually it's associated with light beers that are not actually full-bodied. And so I did a little work on full-bodied, theology in the New Testament and in the church, and actually found the first reference to a full-bodied something. Well, Paul uses it, but then Clement of Rome, end of the first century, uses it as well. And let me give you this one sentence from Clement. He says, "So let the whole body be saved in Christ Jesus, and let each man be subject to his neighbor." Now, those are two interesting clauses to put together. Let the whole body be saved in Christ Jesus. That's great. We like that. But what follows is let each man be subject to his neighbor. In other words, the significance of the resurrection is not merely in what it does for us, coram deo, in terms of our salvation, but how it impacts our daily lives and especially our life in community. Our life with our neighbor, our life with one another. And so Clement, in his passage, it's chapters or sections 28 to 34 in his letter to the Corinthians, he shifts between Christ's body rising and our bodies rising and the body of Christ being the church rising and how we raise up our brothers and sisters because of Christ's resurrection. It's all sort of the same thing. And I can't really fault Dave on this. I mean, they gave him the topic, the resurrection in church history. I mean, you could have talked about anything. But I wonder if perhaps we should start thinking about the resurrection more than in terms of simply soteriology, what it does for us sort of before God and how we describe that. Now, Dave is really setting us up, and he did a nice job, because this is really the topic, I think, of our next two papers. What does it mean that the body rises? And especially tomorrow, when we talk about ethics and the resurrection and pastoral implications of the resurrection. So not a criticism, just an observation that it maybe you're a little more Lutheran than you think when you talk about soteriology, and that's all we got. So there you go.